I quit watching that Sleepy Hollow show.
Yeah.
Is that Orsi or is that
I
Kurtzman or both?
couldn't get
It was
over
still
the
both of them.
I couldn't get over the fact that his clothes never changed.
Oh, I know. It drove me fucking nuts. I hate it.
Like,
have they still not changed?
No. It's the
Like,
worst.
why doesn't
I
she
don't
go
even think
take
I
him
finished the first season.
shopping?
Yeah,
And why doesn't anybody think it's weird that he's wearing, like, those old fucking
I
clothes?
know,
Maybe
just
they think
fall into
he's,
the
like,
gap.
a hipster.
Yeah. He's just a piece of shit.
It also drives me
Like
nuts that
the
he
douchey
calls her
hipster.
lieutenant.
Oh, I know. I hate that too.
I mean, I know that's what Brits used to call lieutenants,
Yeah,
but
but when in
still
Rome,
annoying.
Amanda.
It's still fucking annoying. As they say, when in Rome.
Exactly.
That doesn't
Idiot. And I didn't like how Walter was a bad guy.
John Noble.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy in quite a few things.
I
Bad
know.
guy in Lord of the Rings.
Man, I always feel like him whenever I'm eating watermelon. It just fucking juice gets everywhere. And I make all this gross noise when I'm chewing it. It's just red shit's flying all over the place and getting on my shirt. It's so bad.
Such a gross scene.
It is. It's the worst. Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Welcome back to another fun and exciting episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with Amanda, Randy, and Justin as always. How you guys doing?
Good.
Fabulous.
Wunderbar.
And I know what you're all thinking, that another episode, this is going to be lame. We know you guys hate it, so this time we brought Miss Jess Hicks. Jess, how you
doing?
Yay! I'm back.
Yay!
It feels so good to be back.
She's here to not only class up the joint, but to make us sound like not all idiots. Maybe something we say on this podcast will be factually accurate. So that's your job,
I can't
Jess.
Promise anything, but I will try to try.
Well, I mean, Jess is our resident horror expert, so she came on the right yet somber day for the podcast yesterday. Iconic horror director Wes Craven, creator of, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street franchise and the Scream franchise, passed away of brain cancer. So hey, that kind of sucks. What do you guys think about this?
I was destroyed. It really did suck. And the funny thing, we were going to talk about Fear of the Walking Dead, and I was watching Fear of the Walking Dead when I found out about this. And at first,
like
I
a
thought it
double
was just
whammy.
going to be. I know. I thought that it was at first a joke, so I had to get on my various internet sources and figure it out. And once I realized that it was sadly and shockingly true, I yelled at my TV and I said, "I can't even watch Fear of the Walking Dead right now. I can't even look at it. I'm so sad that I'm watching this terrible show." And one of my favorite horror icons just died forever.
It is sad. What about you, Justin? Where were you when you found out the news?
I was in the potty.
Oh.
On the Facebook.
Looking at your phone?
Yeah. Basically. And I was like, what? No. Aw. That sucks. That's
wipe,
how it went
wipe.
down. And then
Yeah.
I read Jess actually posted her thoughts on Bloody Disgusting.
I did, yes. I wrote a
And
short little piece to him.
yes.
I mean, he did play a huge role in the career path that I chose, even starting with you guys, even just getting, like, the House of Horrors started and everything just started because one day when I was, like, 10 or 11, was hanging out at my friend's house and Nightmare on Elm Street came on, Big Chuck and Little John. For those of you who don't know, I am based in Northeast Ohio, which is also where Wes Craven was born. So it's sad to see a fellow Ohioan go, and it's really sad to see somebody who made such a huge difference and changed the genre in more ways than one. And even though he may have become a little out of touch with his later movies, I mean, I can't defend Cursed, and I never will. But you know, he kept trying, and I guess three TV shows that were going to be going on are going to keep going on in his honor, and that would be the People Under the Stairs show.
Yes, I love that movie.
Yeah, and two other ones that are more like sci-fi. One's called We're All Fine, I believe, which is based on a book which kind of takes the idea of survivor people from horror movie in like horror movie situations. And I guess it's going to be gathering a group of those kind of people up and exploring how their lives are affected by it and everything like that. I'm not sure if it's a fiction show or not. I think it's a fiction show because it's based on a book. So,
So you were 11? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I saw people under the stairs at the drive-in.
Did you? I saw it in a theater, too. I saw it in a theater, not a drive-in.
Yeah. It was scary.
I was like 11, like, the first time I saw Nightmare on Elm Street, and it was burned into my retinas. I was terrified.
Yeah, but Freddy made a woman out of you.
He did. Because that first movie, I mean, Freddy's known now as an iconic character and for his one-liners, and I love Freddy for that, too, but in that first movie, it's serious, a serious tone. I mean, it's a little hodgepodge put together and kind of tapers off at the ending in a kind of weird way, but they still take Freddy completely serious. Mm-hmm. And it scared me as a kid. Tina in that body bag. And
oh, that was the worst at the school?
Yeah, at the school when she's like, come, help me, Nancy, help me.
Oh.
Oof.
Screw your pass. I forget where I was going with this. Oh, yeah, I hated the ending. I never liked the ending to the original Nightmare on Elm Street. I didn't like that, how...
I think that was a New Line tag. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Wes Craven was terribly fond of the ending either.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I don't think he wanted to leave it open for a sequel.
It didn't make any sense. Like, when she, from the part where he gets on the bed and burns the mom, and then she's like a skeleton,
and then disappears into the mattress. And
yeah, that makes me believe that it was all just a dream.
Well, that's how it sort of ends until, you know, they come up in the Freddy car.
Yeah. It's like, this is, it's like a thing.
Striped.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. These events haven't even happened yet, is what that turns out to be, and that's stupid.
Stupid dumb thing. What's your favorite Wes Craven movie, Jess?
My favorite Wes Craven movie? I mean, my favorite Wes Craven movie that's not a Nightmare on Elm Street, we'll say, is The Hills Have Eyes.
Ooh, I'm right there with you.
Because it's, I mean, Last House on the Left is his other big, you know, iconic breakthrough into the, you know, the grindhouse in a horror genre. And it's gritty and it's upsetting, but the one thing that I feel that Hills Have Eyes has over it and will keep making me more disturbed of Hills Have Eyes over and over again versus Last House is that it doesn't have the stupid bumbling cops that totally ruin the tone of the movie. Mm-hmm. But Hills
Justin
Have Eyes
told me Hills Have Eyes is too scary.
Yeah, you can't handle it, Dave.
Justin said I can't watch it. It's too
scary. Both the old one, the original, and the remake are both terrifying.
Yeah, I'm the anti-Jess Hicks, in case you didn't know. Like, I wet the bed.
Yeah, it's nuts. And it could happen to anybody, especially since you travel with your family. You shouldn't watch it.
Yeah, it's not a good movie for people who have families.
Especially when you grow up out in the middle of the fucking desert like I did.
Yeah.
Holy shit, I watched it like right after we moved to 29 Palms. I met this guy, his name was William. Well, he was a kid. I shouldn't say he was a guy. I didn't go to a guy's house and watch a movie.
Some dude.
But, like, met this man.
Yeah.
I want to watch an R-rated movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, and little boy.
Exactly. I was like, hey, what's going on? I'm new. You want to be my friend? And we watched it, and I was very scared. Not a fan.
Yeah, it's... Even the part with the dogs still bother me. And
Yeah, Beauty and Beast. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Sad.
What about you, Randy? I know, I think you're kind of in the same boat as Al. You're not a big horror movie guy, but you're a filmmaker. What, anything? I mean, he kind of reinvented the genre twice, you know, with Nightmare on Elm Street and then again with Scream. What are your takeaways from Mr. Wes Craven?
The first Nightmare on Elm Street is my absolute all-time favorite horror movie. I watched that when I was an impressionable young age. I can't remember how old I was, but I remember being terrified and intrigued to the point where the very first thing I did is I went back to my bedroom. I found some action figure wearing like a red shirt. I painted stripes on it. I gave him a hat, and I made this little contraption that had staples for the claws on his glove that slipped over his hand. So I made a little Freddy Krueger action figure because I thought, you know, this is like back in the 80s, and there was no way in my mind they were ever going to make a horror movie action figure like that, because it was you know, well before the days of like McFarlane Monsters and stuff like that, where they really started merchandising on the horror franchises. And I thought that was the coolest thing. I had them just slash the shit out of all my other action figures. It was great. And mind you, I was like 10. So that very much kind of formed my appreciation for that genre when I was younger. And it's true, I'm not a real big horror guy, but I will still sit down and watch that movie anytime I see it on TV.
Yeah. I can go back to the first Nightmare and the third Nightmare any day of the week.
Yeah.
Not the second one, not the gay one, as they call it.
Not the homoerotic. Well, actually, the more homophobic entry. No, not so much. I own all of them. I have seen all of them multiple times, but that second one is really just
bad.
It's cringeworthy now. If you go back and watch it, it's just, oh god, I can't believe they got away with some of the things they said and some of the things they did. It's just.
Well, we have heard from you, Amanda. I know you're going to give us some biting social commentary on Wes Craven. Go.
I've never seen any of those movies.
What about Scream?
No, I saw Scream, but it was so long ago, I wouldn't even be able to comment on it anymore. I don't really remember anything.
Nope. Oh, I remember the TV show. I used to watch that.
You remember it? Like, it's on right now?
No, he's thinking of Nightmare on Elm Street TV show.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
She was talking about the Scream TV show.
Yeah, I got it now. I was a little slow.
You were talking about the Nightmare on Elm Street show.
Which wasn't particularly good, because Freddy only made, like, one appearance.
Yeah, it was, Freddy's it was more like the Crib Keeper.
Yeah,
basically. Mm-hmm. It was the same kind of thing with the Friday the 13th show, where it's not actually about
those
characters. It's just
it was like a trio of characters. It was like they were like going on these crazy. It was basically Supernatural before Supernatural.
Yeah.
Well, now
like an old guy and a young guy and a girl.
Since we have Jess on the ringer here, what do you think about Wes Craven's new Nightmare? You know, him bringing the real world into Nightmare on Elm Street. What's the thoughts on that?
I funny you mentioned, because I watched it just right before this podcast. New Nightmare has never really been a big favorite of mine, and I quite honestly I bounce back and forth between liking it and not liking it. I also have a very distinct memory of when I was younger again, which I realized later on after it, this was even before I had watched Nightmare on Elm Street. So this is when I was young. I was probably like 6 or 7. I was sitting in my aunt's kitchen and she had a TV in her kitchen, like one of those little counter ones. And New Nightmare was on. At the time, I had no idea what it was. And it was just the scene of the nurse being dragged across the ceiling, which is a replica of the scene of Tina being dragged across the ceiling. So later on in life, when I saw Nightmare on Elm Street, I was like, oh, this is the movie that I was watching. It wasn't, because even later on in life, I realized, oh, I was watching New Nightmare.
And that your aunt was a terrible caregiver.
And that my aunt was not, perhaps, maybe the best babysitter ever. But
television is the best babysitter.
Right, exactly. I mean, for me it was. I turned out all right.
You haven't murdered anybody yet?
Not that you know of. My secrets away.
Dun-dun-dun. I'll be your alibi.
New Nightmare I've grown a better appreciation for because I think it really, that's what Wes Craven was thinking at the time. That's how he felt about the genre and the way, or the franchise and the way it went and the way it made Freddy such a funny, iconic guy. And basically him just poking fun at that. So it's something that I think I've grown to appreciate more as I've gotten more involved in the genre and more involved in his body of work. But it's still not one of my favorites. I still would rather watch 1 or 3 any day of the week.
As Justin would say, it's so meta. So
mm-hmm.
Justin's favorite Wes Craven movie is Vampire in Brooklyn with Eddie Murphy.
That is not entirely accurate.
I don't know. When he takes over and pretends to be the preacher, it's pretty funny.
Oh, man. I think... Okay, so obviously Nightmare on Elm Street's a big one, and then Hills Have Eyes for sure, but Scream definitely struck a chord with me because... it had reinvented the horror genre. And I remember writing a little essay on it, on how cool it was and how that was going to kickstart horror back into theaters again. And it was awesome. And it was super funny. I liked it.
Yeah.
I like it when it's people and not like an evil force. Because a lot of times when it's some supernatural thing, it can get cheesy really fast. But when it's a person, it makes it a little bit more real.
Yeah, because you're always going to have that, like, deep down inside. You're like, I realize this is funny, and it's aware of itself, but somebody could just dress up in an outfit and stab me to death one day.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not out of the realm of possibilities.
Exactly. And I liked how they used their horror knowledge to comment on what was happening in, you know, their day-to-day.
Yeah. Now, have any of you watched the Scream television show, or is it just me?
Just you.
Just me.
Just you.
It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
What a ringing endorsement.
Put that on the box. The only MTV show I watch is Teen Mom.
No, it's the only TV show I watch on MTV, and I even feel ashamed when I watch it on MTV, like when it's actually on and I have to watch the commercials, because it's not for me at all. I'm like, I don't understand teenagers. I don't want to understand teenagers. I just want to watch my stupid show and move on. But it's actually a lot better than I thought, and it's a little, they go all out for the gore as much as they can.
There's no Ghostface though?
No, I mean, there is. It's just it's kind of like, it has nothing to do with Sydney or any of that. It's basically a same kind of little town, but the killer in this is, his name is Brandon James, and he wears a similar ghost face kind of mask. And basically it's that he was in love with the main girl's mom when they were teenagers. Ooh. And then stuff happened, and now he's back, or somebody's back, or a couple of people are back. It's basically running the same plot as the first Scream movie that is probably going to end up being multiple killers.
Is the mom the girl that was in New Nightmare that gets dragged across the ceiling? I saw she was in it. Maggie something, or Tracy Middendorf or something like that?
I don't know. I'll have to look that up. She looks familiar now that you... I mean, she's always looked familiar to me, but now that you mention that, maybe that's what I know her from.
Yeah.
And, of course, not to be confused with the show coming out called Scream Queens, which I'm really looking forward to.
With Ariana Grande?
I'm mostly looking forward to it because I really want to see what they do to Jamie Lee Curtis, because I can't imagine that she's going to be in it the whole time. But maybe, I don't know.
I like Emma Roberts.
Yeah, I don't mind her. I mean, she's been on most of the American Horror Story seasons, and she's not bad.
I like the way she looks. If I were to get all creepy, Randy,
I like the way she
pervy
looks.
Style.
I like her to get.
If I had a mustache, hand. I'd be twirling it right now.
I'm twirling it enough for the both of us.
There you go. twirling both sides. Bastardly.
I got two hands.
Yes.
Oh well, poor Wes Craven. We will we'll miss him a lot. He was a giant in the biz, and we have definitely lost a big portion of our childhoods, I think.
Yes.
We did.
But moving on to other things. Sorry.
Oh, no. I'm saying, at least, like you said, we still have his body of work. So.
That's right.
He's that forever immortalized with his film.
Cinema, you're around forever.
Yes.
The good and the bad.
Right. Like, what was that one with the genie?
Kazam?
Wishmaster, maybe?
Wishmaster?
Kazam.
He's a genie.
Prince Ali, fabulous. Hey,
yeah, it's Aladdin. Well, anyway, speaking of pieces of crap, what about this? What about this Bill Murray? What the? He griped and moaned and complained and was a. I'm a cool recluse. I'm not going to be in Ghostbusters. Well, maybe I'll be in your stupid movie if you make me a ghost. And now all of a sudden he's like. We heard a couple weeks ago that he was going to be in the reboot as a cameo, and now he's saying he only is in the cameo so that people don't judge the movie poorly because he's not in it. So it's all about Bill Murray.
Thinking awfully highly of himself.
Yeah.
I already beat the women.
Oof. Are you making that up, or is that real?
No. His wife His wife said that he's abusive.
Yeah, that's been like a thing for a while.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
I guess I didn't want to believe it to be true.
He's like on a Chevy Chase level of shit.
I don't know if anyone's on Chevy Chase level.
I don't know, he hit a woman.
I don't know, Sean Connery talked about beating the shit out of women all the time, and everybody loved the hell out of him.
I don't like him
somehow
at all.
Somehow that didn't change his public opinion.
I don't think Sean Connery's all that great.
No,
I mean,
he's
done more than I ever will, but doesn't mean I respect him for it.
You mean because he was James Bond?
Yeah. And he was Indy's dad.
Yeah, Henry Jones.
Henry. And he was a fucking asshole in that movie, too.
Away.
He was playing himself.
He, like, saved the day. He shot the shut down the plane, except it was their plane. They got us.
He shut down a plane.
Yeah. Semantics of you know, what it is. Well, what do you guys think about this? Justin, go. What do you think? Bill Murray, is he just making this all about him because he's an egomaniac?
Yes. True.
Would you think negatively about this reboot if Bill Murray had nothing to do with it?
I think it would be better off without him.
Uh-huh.
I think that they should just have a clean slate, and if they're going to have a cameo of any kind, it should be Dan Aykroyd, because he's the one that's been trying to get Ghostbusters put together for so long.
Dan Aykroyd was the first one to announce that he was doing a cameo in it. He plays a cab driver.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, he's the only one that I'm excited about. Like,
gotcha.
I mean, or even Winston. Yeah, Ernie Hudson. I think anybody but Bill Murray should be in this fucking movie.
Yeah, I'm going to stand behind what I said last week, a couple weeks ago, the first time we brought up the whole Bill Murray thing. And I consider it an insult. If he wasn't... I'm so disgusted I can hardly speak. If he wasn't going to be in it the first time around when all the original cast was up for it and he was the only holdout... it just seems like an insult to only now is he going to agree to be in it. And especially for the petty reason of what, so people don't talk negatively about him or the movie. It's just terrible. He's doing it for the wrong reasons. And I don't even know what his cameo is, but I hope he is a ghost.
Well, let me set you a scene, Randy. Okay. Let's say Ghostbusters are doing their ghost busting. They destroy a church or something like that. They have to go to City Hall. The mayor wants to see him. Door opens, Bill Murray turns around, he's Mayor Venkman. What is your reaction?
I like the idea of him being the mayor. I think I could get behind that. But I don't think he should be Mayor Venkman, because if this is indeed a reboot, which they're stating it is, I don't think there should be any familiar names from the original franchise or from the original movie. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, yeah, because if Dan Aykroyd's if he's cameoing as just like a taxi driver, then I guess it does say that.
I mean,
it doesn't recognize them as original.
Yeah, people, unless so. that's what their characters have been reduced to. You know, like the ghostbusting business fell through, and somehow Venkman embezzled all this money and ended up buying his way into office, and freaking Ray's driving a cab, and who knows what Winston's up to, plumber or something like that. I mean, it could be interesting to see how far they fell and to get them back into the loop. That I could kind of get behind. But I don't think they're going to go that way with it.
I think Bill Murray should be a game show host, because isn't that what Dana Barrett thinks?
Yes.
He is?
Yeah, you're more like a game show host.
That would be amazing. Holy crap, yes.
Write it down. Send it in.
But I mean, I'll put this out to everybody. Does Bill Murray being in this movie enhance this movie in any way? Does it make it more grounded and relatable to the original? Does it make it better? Or is this just like every other cameo and every other like reboot, like, oh, that's kind of cool. Johnny Depp is in 21 Jump Street.
Well, if he would have said that he's honored to be in the movie and he was sad that they never got to make a Ghostbusters 3 and this is the closest that we'll get to it, then great. But he said, I'm doing it so people don't fucking get upset.
Hate on this movie.
Yeah. Fuck him. Fuck
I'm doing
him in
it
the
to
face.
Save face.
Yeah.
Would it be better served if this was a total secret and nobody knew about it, and then all of a sudden Bill Murray shows up on your screen as like a ghost or something?
Yeah, that would
you think
been
that would be
yeah,
better?
It would have played a lot better that way, and had he not had a chance to say what he said.
Yeah, because now it just seems like a publicity like grab, like I want to get my name out, I want to hitch my ride to this wagon, you know, instead of, you know, I just want to he's outwardly saying, you know, I just wanted to support this film, blah 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 blah, but his actions just seem to be look at me, look at me. Can everybody see me?
Right. Fuck him. Megalomaniac. A fame junkie.
Yeah. TMZ up the butt. Speaking of up the butt, Justin, you're still in love with this Fear the Walking Dead show. Tell us all about it.
Oh, yeah. I love it to death.
It killed Wes Craven for Jess.
It did.
Yeah. This episode was a little bit better. I gave the pilot, I gave it a whopping D+. This one I give a solid B. I enjoyed it. I liked the walker action that we got. I like how it's finally starting to pick up. There's an immediate sense of danger. They're no longer wondering what's going on. Now they know that there's a problem and that they're going to have to deal with it. And there's definitely, they are afraid. This family that we've been following is scared. They don't know what's happening. They just know it's bad. And I like that. I still don't like the kids, though. If you're a kid on this show, I hate your character.
Well, you hate all kids in all movies, though.
Yes. TV. I just want to shake them or throw them in a microwave.
With
like
the exception
a gremlin.
Of Macaulay Culkin and Home Alone, right? Yes. Is there any other kids in movies you like?
I like Jake Lloyd.
Really?
It's a good one.
Try spinning. That's a good trick.
Better take it off autopilot before you get us both killed.
I don't like kids.
I don't either. I'm in the same camp as you are, Justin, on that one. I don't need three teenagers, thank you.
You know what's funny is I didn't even notice kid actors being horrible until Amanda said something.
That, really?
Yeah, you ruined every movie with a kid in it, minus Home Alone.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I'm a better person for it. Now I hate kids.
What about Rufio?
Oh, I like the part when he dies.
Oh. No.
But it's so sad.
Mm.
Hook.
Yeah, that movie's no good. It's quotable, but I don't like it.
It's going to be better than Pan. Sure.
I mean, aside from the part where both Maggie Smith and Julia Roberts get super creepy on him.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really good movie.
They just want to have the sex, though, man. All day.
Pizza.
God, that's so Maggie Smith. God, that's so weird.
She's such a sweetheart.
She's McGonagall.
No, I mean, it's not her fault, but man.
Yeah,
I like it when she stands up to Snape in Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Oh, yeah, when he gets sacked?
Yeah. Sacking of Severus Snape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of sacking stuff, Netflix.
Yeah,
Justin, tell us about this Epix deal.
Yes. It's not happening. They're not going to renew their deal with Epix, which means, at least in the United States, which means a lot of the big blockbusters like your Transformers, your Hunger Games, your Expendables, they are leaving the Netflix there. Instead, we'll have to rely on horrible B-budget movies and original content. Awesome original content. So that's kind of exciting. I was complaining about this earlier that, with the Netflix shows, it's a once-a-year kind of deal. And I'm fine with that, but I just want at least three shows a quarter. You know, I like how I have my Daredevils, my House of Cards, my Orange is the New Black. I haven't watched it since 8, but I know I need to. So as long as I have somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 12 shows, I think that would keep me occupied for the whole year, and I could appreciate that.
And I think they're giving you that. I think right now that's probably about where they're at, because you used to got Bloodline, you mentioned Sense8. I would bet that they probably have eight or nine dramas and probably 6 or 7 half-hour comedy shows a year.
Do you watch that other one with the the Hammer show? I forget. Lilyhammer? Do you watch that?
I don't.
I don't either. It's on.
See, there's so much original programming. You can't watch it all.
No.
Oh, wait. The TV show or the documentary?
The TV show.
Oh,
isn't that
no.
Called their original one? Maybe.
There's a documentary called Happy Valley also, but it's about something completely different.
Yeah, see, that. Like, yeah, there's just too many original shows on there now. I can't keep up with all of them.
Well, I want them to be good.
Would you watch
Bloodline?
Yeah,
they should all be.
Oh, what is Bloodline?
That's the one with Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights, the greatest actor to grace the universe.
Wait, is he the guy with the Down syndrome from...
No, that's Jesse Plemons from Breaking Bad. No. Kyle Chandler was the coach from Friday Night Lights. He was also in Wolf of Wall Street. He was like the main agent trying to take down DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah. He was on the early edition.
Yes, yes, he was a star. Really, there you go. Yes, he was the main guy from early edition.
I like that show, and he had the cat.
The two people in the universe who I've seen. I only watched it because I'm such a huge fan of Friday Night Lights.
It was good. Gary Hobson. Yeah, yep. He gets the paper a day early. How about that?
It was the news.
Yeah.
Magic newspaper.
Yeah, that is so funny. Why read the paper when you can watch the news the night before? It's so stupid. It's a flaw in the show, Dave.
I agree. There is a flaw. Just like, hey, what if I told you that we could have a Sons of Anarchy show and take out all the Sons of Anarchy?
Oh,
would
yeah.
you watch that show, Justin?
Probably, because those Sam Crow sons of bitches are so full of shit. Makes me mad. They're always talking about getting out and going straight, but then they never do that, and they're always killing fools, and it makes me sick.
Does anybody else watch Sons of Anarchy other than Justin?
No.
I was Sorry. Surprised to see that Kurt Sutter got his... He's got a long-standing relationship with FX. I didn't realize that he was the creator of The Shield.
Yeah, he's into those heavy-handed shows.
Those dirty cop shows.
I like the Chiklis.
He was the commish, you know.
Yes, I know. I like the commish, too.
What were we talking about the other day where we thought that was such a missed opportunity, not calling him the commish? He was in something. Doesn't matter.
Michael Chiklis?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, anyways, sorry.
Was it when we were talking about the old Fantastic Four movie?
No. I don't know now.
Who was on recently? Gotham! He was in Gotham.
Yeah.
And he could have been the commissioner.
Yeah. Wasn't he the commissioner?
I don't think so. No, he's captain. He's a captain. Oh. He's a capitan. Yeah. The commissioner is Larry David's cousin. From Kirby Enthusiasm.
Yeah, well, it's cool. Sons of Anarchy, spinoff, Mayans, enjoy it.
Yes, the Mayans are the...
the ancient people.
Yes.
Not the Aztec.
They're a motorcycle gang that's predominantly Hispanic.
That's racist.
Yes. They don't like other ethnic backgrounds in their club.
No, but they worked alongside.
So in the first season, they hated each other. They like the first episode opens up with them just like blowing up one of their warehouses, and then when I say there, the Mayans blow up one of the Sun's warehouse or some shit, and then they go in there and just hold turf war and gang war, and then they try and be friends, and then they have a very on again, off again relationship.
It's just like a Rachel Ross type thing?
Yes. They were on a break.
All right.
18 pages. Front and back.
Sounds exciting. Anybody else got any more news? We're ready to move on to Randy's fun and exciting list.
Ooh, list time already.
All right, hit us with it, Randy.
Well, in honor of Wes Craven, I have a Wes Craven-related list. And this is something that David can really get behind. It is his 5 highest-grossing films. And thank goodness this isn't a game, because none of us would stand a chance against David. The king of the box office over there.
I do enjoy the box office. Straight out of Compton, 3 weeks in a row.
So we're going to start at the top. The way this is lumped together is, at least for this first one, is by franchise. The Scream franchise. First one, having come out in 1996, grossed over $183 million domestically. Which isn't bad when you consider horror films are generally made on the cheap and are pure profit machines.
Yeah. And that movie had one of the scariest beginnings ever. I love that beginning.
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. That kind of put her back on the map.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you're only in this movie for 5 minutes, but it's a pretty good 5 minutes.
So, and just in case it wasn't clear earlier, that $183 million is just for the first movie, but it's only on this list once for the entire franchise.
Oh.
Yeah. These things So the sequel made $178 million, Scream 3, $134 million, and Scream 4 only brought in $38
million. Yeah, you know, what's cool about that, too, is they kind of went back to the way horror movies were kind of the sequels just was one right after another. It was 96, and then 97 was Scream 2, and then 2000 was Scream 3. That's pretty quick succession for three films.
In 2011 for Scream 4?
Maybe, sure.
They waited a little while.
Yeah. It was 10 years. They wanted there to be 10 years, a 10-year gap between 3 and 4.
3 is 2000, so 4 could have been 2010.
No, it was 2011, like Dave said, but
oh, okay.
I think that just for the sake
takes
of,
place
of the events, it's like 10 years. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, so the next one on our list. Red Eye from 2005.
I like that movie. With Rachel McAdams?
Yeah, with and Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, that's
Airplane
a good one.
Thriller.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, the
I'm surprised that's on this list.
Well, it made $73 million over its domestic run in theaters. Oh. And that's nothing to shake a stick at. So that's the number two non-franchise highest grossing film here. All right, next on our list... The first Nightmare on Elm Street, 1984. So it made $59 million over its theatrical lifetime. And considering 1984 money, that's pretty serious.
Yep.
And I don't know how much it cost to make, but clearly less than that.
That's why they call New Line the house that Freddy built.
Yeah, seriously.
Now it's now it's off Lord of the Rings money.
Well.
But yes, you're right.
It's the house that Peter Jackson built.
Plus, that one guy was a cheap bastard, too. The head guy that owns
Bob Shea.
There you go, Bob Shea. He's a piece. Yeah.
Still is.
Yeah.
He's like, we don't need Robert Englund anymore. We don't need Wes Craven. Just grab some random dude and put him in a mask. It'll work.
Basically.
If we compare Nightmare on Elm Street to the highest grossing film of 1984, which is Beverly Hills Cop, that made $545 million domestically. Compared to the $59 million that Nightmare on Elm Street made.
It's the highest grossing R-rated movie for the longest time.
Yeah.
Till Passion of the Christ.
Which
can't
is
beat
just
Jesus.
Crazy. Crazy town banana pants, as Justin would say.
That is what I would say.
Next on our list, The People Under the Stairs, 1991.
Love it. November.
$47 million over its box office run in the U.S. alone.
Wow, that's pretty good. I mean, I had the kid from Mighty Ducks in it. The one that says Cake Eater.
Yeah, it did.
Bank.
Whatever
Banks.
That means. What? Right. One of the brothers.
Yeah.
The Not last Banks. One on our list. And Justin, you're going to love it. This one's for you. Vampire in Brooklyn, 1995. Although it is widely viewed as a flop, this 1990s horror comedy was one of Craven's highest grossing films as a director, bringing in $37 million at the domestic box office.
Hmm.
And it, funny little postscript to this story, his very next film was the first Scream. So that kind of redeems him, right?
that makes up immensely.
That's a bummer, because that was right in the middle of Eddie Murphy's downswing.
Yeah. What's so funny, because Scream's like almost 20 years from 20 years ago, but you know, Randy can attest, we've worked on many, many shitty horror movies, and so many times they'll try to get some actor to like work for free at the beginning, for the beginning part of the film, saying, oh, look what it did for Drew Barrymore being the opening of the movie. Do you remember on Bloody Wedding, Randy, trying to get that girl to come all the way out of the Bass Lake, and she's like, oh, how much money are you going to give us? Oh, we can only afford this, but you're going to be the first person in the movie to get killed. That's because of Wes Craven. Thanks, Scream.
Yeah.
It's a good list, though, Randy.
Hey, a little succinct list, and they're all fun movies.
Yeah.
Even Vampire in Brooklyn. Fun movie.
And you want to know something else that's fun, Randy? Justin has a game that Jess is going to demolish us in, so why don't you set that up for us, Justin?
Sure.
Sweet.
So, here's a game. Number one new hit show. A lot of fun. I'm going to describe a nightmare that happened in a movie. And you got to tell me which movie it was in, which Nightmare on Elm Street movie it was in, and you get a bonus point if you can give me the actual subtitle to that movie. You know, whatever, like Dream Master or Dream Child or whatever the fuck they are.
Mm-hmm.
Sound good?
All right. Sounds good.
I'm going to fail horribly at this.
I'm really even kind of scared about my knowledge on that.
Nah.
I'm like Jon Snow when it comes to this stuff.
You know nothing.
Yeah.
These are, I was under the impression that most of you hadn't seen these, that being at least half of you, Amanda and Randy. So I was pretty, pretty easy on you. All right, you ready?
Ready.
Okay.
Okay. This long-awaited battle pits two horror icons against one another. I heard Randy first.
Damn, on the board.
Randy's winning.
We can't take that away from you.
Randy wins this game.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Game's over. Randy wins. Okay, here we go. In this nightmare, Philip is merely a puppet on a string.
Dream Warriors.
Ooh, I heard Jess first.
Yep.
I heard it first, too.
Part three.
Made from his own tendons. Hmm. Yeah. This movie made me not want to have any puppets of any kind. No marionettes in Justin's bedroom because of this. So you're gonna get 2 points because you said Dream Warriors. Can you sing the song for me? You'll get another point.
The song?
Yeah.
Or the Into the Fire. That song?
That's a good one too, but yeah, I was thinking of the Dream Warriors.
No, I'm not going to do any more singing for you, Jess. Oh. I'm sorry. That was all you got. All
right,
was...
then I'm taking a point away. Get back down to one. That's how we do.
Fine,
I cheat.
I'll make that point up.
I cheat. Okay, here we go. Let me boldify your name here. Okay, in this nightmare, Freddy crashes a pool party and causes all sorts of carnage to unsuspecting
Freddy's
teens.
Freddy's Revenge.
Very good. Jess. That was Nightmare on Elm Street 2. Here we go. In this nightmare, Debbie's fear of bugs gets the best of her. Of course,
Dream
we all
Master.
Know. Correct. When it comes to the Roach Motels, you can check in, yes. But you can't check out.
They check in.
That was fucking disgusting.
That's
when her face falls off. Oh my god. Jesus. So David's got one. Plus another one.
Two.
Yeah, I got it. All right, here we go. Let's see. In this nightmare, Freddy resorts to using Nintendo's Power Glove to stomp out his victim.
Final
Dream Child.
No, it's the final nightmare. Jess is correct. Played by young Breckin Meyer. Oh, poor Breckin.
Starring Billy Zane's sister.
Ooh. Wow. Is that what it says in the credits? Billy Zane's sister?
Yep.
Is she his daughter?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Freddy's daughter, not Billy Zane's daughter.
Right. I got it.
His sister is his daughter.
There's no weird sister-daughter thing going on here.
Yeah. That movie was nuts. By nuts, I mean horrible. Okay. In this nightmare, Freddy tackles the sensitive issue of anorexia by force feeding Greta her own
Dream
stomach.
Dream child.
Very good, Dave. Bon appetit, bitch. That was so disgusting. You remember how horrible that scene was at that dinner table? Ugh.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. Okay, let's see where we at here. Ooh, we're getting down to the nitty of the gritty here. Okay. In this nightmare, a young girl named Tina can be seen dragged across the... Oh, I heard Dave first.
I did too. I couldn't get it out fast enough.
Dragged across the ceiling whilst her dumb boyfriend Rod is screaming bloody murder. Actually, he was screaming Tina. That's funny.
Dick.
I know. I was laughing when I wrote that. I was like, that's kind of funny. Let's see here. Last one. And the golden snitch for a billion trillion Freddy bucks. Are you ready?
Ready.
I'm ready.
In this nightmare, Freddy is real. It's all real. What'd you say?
I said new nightmare.
That's correct.
He's so sad. I had more.
It was, that Wes. He's so meta. So Jess wins by getting the golden snitch. Hooray. Great job. Randy, I'm proud of you, man. You done did good.
Represented.
I'm proud of both of you.
Thanks. I came out strong, then fizzled.
Quickly. Yes, that's all right.
You peaked.
Yeah. You're not too early. It's an age thing.
It is, man.
Dave, you did really well. If it wasn't for the old golden snitch.
Yeah, Dave, I'm really surprised.
Do you want to sing the Dream Warrior song and you can win? You can get all of her Freddy bucks.
No, she won fair and square. Oh. She beat me. I feel like Ivan Drago at the end of Rocky IV. Oh. She beat me fair and square.
He doesn't say that.
I know. It's from Rounders, but
yeah. Pay that man his money. He beat me straight up. Pay that man. Pay that man his money. All night with his check.
Drago says, "If he dies,
he dies."
Just kind of it's kind of a really dick thing to say.
Yeah, he looks right at the wife. And he says, yeah.
Speaking of Netflix, I watched that Netflix the other day. Now it's recommending all these terrible movies to me.
Oh man, they're all on there. All the Rockies. Yeah. I started at 3, and then I watched 4. And then I watched 1, then 2.
I watched them completely. I watched 4-3-2-1. I watched them completely backwards.
That's funny.
I don't. Is 5 on there though?
I don't know.
I was gonna say. I noticed you left 5 off.
I don't think 5.
5's the worst. I like Rocky Balboa though. I like that one. That one's funny. Not funny. I mean, good.
Yeah, I just feel like I saw it already. Like 5 is all sad. Now Adrian's dead. And
yeah, that's the funny part.
Spoiler. I like Grudge Match. Did you ever see Grudge Match?
Yeah. I didn't like how De Niro was the irresponsible adult and how he left the kid so he could go get
busy in the
little
college.
Action. Yeah, I thought that was dumb.
Yeah.
But my buddy Shane was in it.
That's right. He trains him.
Yeah. I'm excited for him to be Punisher.
Your buddy LL Cool J's in it, too. I know you like him.
I do.
Hmm. Well, cool.
Anybody any given Sunday. He's also in H2O. Not the water movie, but the Halloween movie.
And Deep Blue Sea.
Yes, he's the cook in that. And he's got a pirate. Or yeah, a pirate. A parrot. Like a pirate. He's dressing like Shipwreck in the G.I. Joe there.
Yeah. That's cool. Anybody got anything else?
Yes. Shout-outs. Don't forget, I forgot to mention these guys. Tony Tolato and Tim Byers and fucking Rod Faulkner. You got Tony Tolato with SciFiTalk.com. You got Tim Byers with TheFullBleed.net. And you got Rod Faulkner with The Seventh Matrix. All three amazing sites. Check them out. Lick your monitor when you go to their websites. You'll love it.
What about you, Randy?
Of course, I've got a shout out. Anybody, any of our listeners up north should get your ass to Canada this weekend for Fan Expo. We're going to be showing nonstop to Comic-Con Saturday evening, 5:30 p.m. in screening room 707. And then the following week, Sunday, we're back in the States in California at Long Beach Comic-Con. Come check us out. We're playing at 1 in the afternoon in screening room 202A. So nonstop to Comic-Con.
Yeah. And Randy's going to leave his cave and come out to the public and revel with us all. So
I'm actually going to be at Long Beach. Actually, we're going to have a lot of cast and a lot of crew there with us, so it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be a little mini meet and greet. Anybody who wants to say hi to some of the stars from the movie will be able to do so after the screening.
Or before, maybe.
Or even before. We're going to have some cool swag to give away, and who knows, they might even sign it for you.
Yeah, find me and Randy. We'll hook you up.
With a handy.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously.
Well, that's how we're going to get people into the theater to watch the movie.
People will be voting. We need to win.
Yeah, taking a whole jar of Vaseline.
You could be people's cup holders. That would be fun.
It would be.
Yeah.
Like, grossly fun. But, well, Jess, where can everyone keep up with you? You know, you occasionally you'll pop up, you'll post some fun stuff for Geek Legacy, but if someone were looking to follow you, what's the best way to get a hold of all the good stuff you got on the interwebs?
Well, I'm primarily on Bloody Disgusting now. I do a lot for them, reviewing new and old movies and editorials, things like that. But I guess the best way to follow me, because I do some freelance writing for other websites too, just little silly articles and lists and things that maybe aren't pop culture related sometimes, is probably just the best way to follow me is on Twitter, just to keep up with the different websites I participate in. So you can follow me at Critic Jess Hicks. Pretty simple. Use my name. I'm not afraid.
You got nothing to hide behind. And we'll have that in the descriptor of the podcast on the site and everything like that.
Oh, so. I'll write it down. I wasn't listening.
Nothing to hide.
Hey, and you just reviewed Goddess of Love on GeekLegacy.com, by the way. Thank you for doing that.
Absolutely no problem. You can check that out. I think it's still on the front page. And yes. I did do a little write-up on Wes Craven. If you didn't get enough of my sadness here and you want to see that on Bloody Disgusting, you can.
That was the first place I went, Jess, was I read your post.
Well, I feel privileged. Thank you, Justin.
I was like, I
didn't read a single other report on Wes Craven except yours.
Aww. Well, thank you very much. That means a lot to me.
I told all my friends to read your posts, Jess.
I wiped the internet of all the other posts.
It's like, who's this Variety? It's full of shit.
What an indie rag.
All of them down.
Oh.
Actually, I won't say about Variety. I may or may not have an interview with them next week.
You know, it was interesting and pretty impactful to see my entire Facebook and Twitter feed was just loaded with thoughts on Wes Craven. That's pretty cool, the impact that he's had on cinema and just geek culture in general. I mean,
yeah, I
love, love or hate horror movies, you've seen his movies whether you like it. Unless you're Amanda, you've seen a Wes Craven movie.
Yeah, not well, since everyone turned their profile pictures.
State, so I can't change that. Yeah. So one of you is going to have to make her watch things.
And kids die. You'll like it, Amanda. Kids actually die.
Because kids die.
Yeah. Of course, they're 30-year-olds playing teenagers, but you get the idea. It's like role-playing.
Yeah. Is that it? We done? Anything else? Nothing else?
Yeah.
That's it.
What?
Who's the girl that was the editor on 90210? The Andrea? Was that her name?
Andrea Zuckerman, yeah.
She is the oldest Gabriel teenager Contreras. Ever.
Yeah, she was like 36 on the first season of 90210.
I hate that.
Holy shit.
We should change that.
Like, go back in time?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for coming out for another fun-filled episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Special thanks to you, Jess. A pleasure
thanks
as always.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
You were bad.
You were ooh. By all four of us.
I think I won all the Freddy Luck, so I think you were all had.
Oh yeah, that money, your money is no good here.
But yeah, make sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy. It's really the best way to get a hold of us. You know, we're usually pretty chatty on there, and if you you hit us up, we'll probably stalk you and ask you a bunch of personal questions and make you feel uncomfortable. So definitely take advantage of that. And until next time, we'll see you next week. Go to GeekLegacy.com.